You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor.
Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. And by the way, our homepage, InternetAdvisor.net, is chock full of information for you. We got stories out there about advice and also about some of the news going on, as well as a load of information on our homepage of the folks who have been with us here in studio. One of those people, by the way, is Steve Heyer, who is with IGD Solutions. That's the company, just to kind of disclose things. It also is the people that host our homepage, the InternetAdvisor.net homepage. And Steve, thank you very much for doing that. We wanted to invite you into the conversation right now. We have Joe with us from Livonia. And by the way, folks, the line's open for you to join the conversation as well at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. It's toll free, and we'll take any question about your computers or about the internet, anything else.
And Foster, tell them that we will take the easy questions too, ones we can answer.
Yes.
Right? You know, make us look good. Ask us an easy one.
We have a really neat resource in here, Steve, with you being here, because you are the people who are the persons essentially that are the gatekeepers for Joe and for the rest of us who are getting our email through. So, do you have any thoughts on what Joe's presenting us with this problem that he has with the Yahoo Mail?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's becoming more and more common that there's these bots that are out on the internet that are trying to guess passwords. And so they have a very systematic algorithm that they run through, trying to guess passwords for a lot of the email providers that are out there. A lot of your Gmails and Yahoos and Hotmails and things like that get hit
I've been hit twice, I think, in the last 9 months in Hotmail.
As well as your personal email accounts. And my advice to avoid it is have a good password. You've got to have a mix of letters and numbers, capitals, symbols. And make sure you write it down when you do change your password to something strong, because that's the other thing. People will change their password and then they can't get into their email. That doesn't help either. But these programs will guess their password. They get into their email account, download the address book, and then everybody you know in your address book gets a wonderful piece of spam email from you. A lot of them contain viruses, and then if the people open they get viruses and the system proliferates. It spreads itself across the internet. So it's becoming more and more of a problem. Just in the last couple weeks, the instances of this virus spreading has been really huge.
You know what I found interesting, too? For instance, I had an email from a trusted friend of mine, and I should have had my head screwed on better, but, you know, there was an attachment to it, and I thought, hey, I haven't heard from Marty in a long time. And like a dummy, I clicked on it. But fortunately, I was using Chrome at the time, and it popped in and said, this has got malware on it. And I shut it down immediately. And that is the browser. And then I sent an email back to him, and I said, Martin, looks like you've been hijacked.
That's exactly the challenge, because as we're hosting your email, and if your email gets hit, we can detect very quickly that it was hit. But then how do we notify you if we can't email you? So if we shut your email account down, there's no way for us to necessarily notify you. In the case of some of our corporate clients, certainly we have other contacts and we can call. But from a Gmail or Yahoo standpoint, sometimes even Gmail will have a phone number and could text message you or something. But in most cases, you don't give them your phone number. They have no way to get in touch with you. And your email is just disabled at that point.
And if I got a call from Google, I probably wouldn't believe it. I really
That's
wouldn't.
True.
Right.
Yeah. So I wouldn't. Joe,
they don't do that, right?
Does any of this help you with your concern?
Well, I just thought of something that I've been thinking about in terms of changing passwords. I'm assuming that these cracker code systems basically are looking for alphanumerics, but what if we were to use like some combination, like variation skipping over the top alphanumerics above the numbers as creating a strong code?
So let's talk about, what's a strong password?
That's
right?
A very
How
good
many
point,
characters?
Yeah.
Low, upper, lower case? Special symbols? What do you think?
Depending on who you ask, I think you're going to get some different answers. I would typically say you've got to go at least 8 characters. You've got to have a mix of letters and numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Symbols make it certainly much more secure. Anything that you would hit shift and pick on your keyboard. You want to have a good mix of things in there, and you want to change it regularly.
Yeah. Right.
So you think the cracker codes would still pretty well break down just using the upper letters or the upper symbols?
Yes.
You know, I saw something out there that it's heartbreaking in terms of how quick these things can crack codes.
Yep. If you have an 8-character password with no uppercase or lowercase, it takes 3 seconds to crack it. If you have uppercase and lowercase, it'll take 15 seconds to crack it. If you have 10 characters with a couple punctuation marks, it'll take probably a couple hours. If you have a 13-character password with more than one punctuation mark with upper and lowercase and special symbols, it could take as much as 30 days.
And
that's
by the way,
I'm
nobody
saying.
Nobody will spend that much time on your password, so they go on and get the easy ones.
Right.
Well, there's a limit too. The systems that you're trying to log into an email account over and over again, you'll eventually get blocked by their firewall system that says, if you get through, if you have the ones that take 10, 15 seconds, you're in. I mean, if you have a one-word password with no upper or lowercase, you're going to get hit sooner rather than later.
And some systems, some ISPs only allow 8 characters. Some systems allow up to 256 characters. I mean, it really depends. A lot of us like using the same password. But then when we try to go purchase something on a website, that's limited to 8 characters. But I know my email, I have 16-character password. So we have to track multiple passwords. It becomes very difficult for us.
Joe, thank you very much for your call. You've kind of opened up a can of worms here, but I think a very important one to talk about. And I should mention, by the way, our phone lines are open, and we've got plenty of time for you to get your question in here, get some answers for you at 800-859-0957. Let's talk for a minute about this, because, Cal, you and I are trying out password protection systems. I'm trying out RoboForm, and you're trying out 1Password.
1Password, that's correct.
And I think we're probably next week going to be talking about this. We'll be comparing the systems.
Yeah.
Steve, what do you think of those? In other words, you have kind of a software safe that you keep all of your passwords in. You try to make them strong in there, and then you have a really strong one to protect that. And then you use these to store your passwords so that when you get onto a browser, you can just simply, for instance, with RoboForm, I just go into once I get into the secure site, I just click on logins, and I'll say, for instance, log in to my bank account, and broom, it logs the things in.
Yeah, I think the password is probably the weakest link in terms of security across the internet and technology in general. The government has an initiative that they've been working on for at least a couple of years now to try to encourage the big folks like Google and Facebook to open up a little bit and do a more of a single sign-on, so you could use your Facebook login to get into other sites.
Facebook would love that, wouldn't they?
They would. And some
they're trying
sites,
to make you do that with a lot of things.
Some sites will let you log in, but the issue is Google doesn't play nice with Facebook because they're obviously competitors in the marketplace. So they have a little bit of their own following out there, but there's no interoperability. Passwords need to be secure. I mean, the system that I personally use is one where I use some very secure passwords exclusively just for banking and financial transactions.
Okay.
I don't share those with anybody else with any other systems. Then I have, for sort of John Q websites that I have accounts on, I have another password that I use, and I have a third one in rotation that I use for sites that need to be more secure than John Q website but not quite as secure as my banking. And I have a little cheat sheet that I can remember those by. I think you have to come up with a system that works for you, because if it doesn't work and it's not easy to use, it defeats the whole purpose of using the technology anyway.
Yeah, you want the most complex password that you can remember.
Yep.
Right?
But we have a problem here, though, and this is what I found is every place I go wants a password. I'm on my darn iPhone, and everything I hit wants a password there.
And
it's a bugger to try to type in those darn passwords on a thumb.
And that's the reason why using something like RoboForms or 1Password is really, really great, because you can make them as complex as you want. You don't necessarily have to, well, I shouldn't say it like this, but you don't necessarily have to remember each one of them, because they're all buried within that vault or like we use a device at work called Password Wallet. So they're all in there. So all you have to do is remember the 1Password to get you inside of it, so if you ever have to make changes. But the rest of it's always programmed out, and you don't have to play the thumb thing on the...
I'm finding, however, Steve, that, for instance, a lot of the applications that I come into on my iPhone are saying, hey, would you like to use Facebook?
Right.
And I have said yes, but I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold it. Because along with that, I've got to allow them to use all of my data then. My location, all my information that's on Facebook, and I don't know that I necessarily want them to do that.
Well, true. I mean, I think we said it a couple times. It's a pain to keep typing in your password. If you lose your phone, a lot of those passwords are entered and saved on your phone to get in a lot of apps. Some of those apps have your credit card information.
Yeah.
Certainly there's some risk there.
Yeah, a lot of risk there. Okay, hey, Dennis from Windsor will be with you in just a moment. And for the rest of you folks, our lines are open. This is a great time to get in if you had no luck before. And the lines have been busy. We've got some space for you at 859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. For help with any computer problem, call in during our live show or visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. And the number again, 800-859-0957. Al and Jean will be with you in just a moment. Eric Anderson's in the studio with us today, along with Cal. Eric Murney has the Mac Minute you go on with.
Or two,
yeah. But a lot of things going on with Apple. This week, Mountain Lion being introduced, one of the things. But what other things are online with the Mac and Apple?
Well, the major thing is, as you said, the Mountain Lion. And with that, there's a lot of different features. This is a new operating system for Mac.
An upgrade.
It's an upgrade that'll be coming out later this summer, and they're going to be calling it macOS 10.8. Right now you have 10.7, which is Lion. This is Mountain Lion. And there's some good features that are going to be thrown into this. What you're going to see is a lot of the things that you already see on an iOS device, such as an iPhone, an iPad, starting to integrate more with the Mac.
Any key things that people would?
Well, one of the big things is applications. So a lot of the applications that you already run, they're making versions of that for the Mac now. Like, for example, if you have an iPhone, you have what's called messaging. So you can send text messages. And it's also what a lot of people don't realize is you can also send messages not through the 3G network. So,
yes.
Like, if you're on an airplane and you're on Wi-Fi, I can still send you a message using that messaging
program. If you're going to another iOS user.
Right. As long as you have an iPhone, I have an iPhone that works. Well, that's going to be coming to the Mac now. So if you have a Mac, I can send you a message.
It's all across the system. Cal, anything else in particular?
In coordination to what he was just talking about, also the notification center that was added into iOS 5, which is like really wonderful, and it tells you your dates from your calendars and
the drop
when messages down, come in. It's a drop down. You'll be able to get that exact same information that you're getting on your iPhone device on your Mac right on the screen. And so that's really cool.
I think
too.
One of the interesting things about this too that brings the Windows folks into this is that this is kind of a herald of the things to come in general, even for Windows, when they have their Windows 8 come out and the Metro UI, which they have, which we're going to see a lot more of this. So what's happening with Apple folks is not just doing with Macs. It's also is something that's telling us about what's coming in general for desktops and laptops as well. Some events are coming up pretty soon, aren't they? Some announcements from Mac?
I think it's what? It's the first or second week in March. There's some possibilities. Rumor, strictly rumor.
Yeah, that wonderful what else is rumor mill.
That the iPad 3 supposedly is supposed to be coming out, and it's going to be 4 LTE compatible, both on AT&T and Verizon as well.
And Verizon has said it won't take any devices that aren't LTE compatible, which is one of the strong arguments.
Well, and that's good news for me because I believe in June my iPhone contract is up, and I'm looking forward to making the jump to Verizon, but I want 4G LTE.
Yeah, that's important to have. Okay, guys.
It's lucrative for me.
Hey, thank you very much for that quick report on all things Apple. And let's get back to our phones and say hello. Thanks, Eric, very much for that, by the way. Eric Anderson is both our producer and Mr. Mac here. And Al from Bluefield, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, thank you. Hi, I've got a laptop. It's only a couple of weeks, 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
After having a desktop for years and years, no problems. Now, I'm not used to the laptop, but I did finally get my brokerage account and my email account going, and the email's working fine until about a couple of weeks ago. And when they asked for my password, they want to check, if I was up.
Whoa, back up. Who asked for your password?
The screener.
What screener is this?
On the email account.
Email
account.
Yeah, hang on a second. Yahoo should never be asking you for your password.
It comes in the print. They want to check on my credentials, I guess. Maybe I'm legitimate. And they put in your password, and I do it. And then I know what the password is. I have the same password on another account, and I just got through using it. And it comes up, maybe you're using Caps or something. Try something different.
Yeah, Al, guys, am I being paranoid? But I think he's been hit by a scam here. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts?
So, are you trying to get into the account?
I'm trying. All I want to do is get my email. I'm in the email group, and we send out dozens of emails every day to everybody.
Yeah, and you can't get in anymore?
So how did they approach you?
I don't see what the security problem is.
Wait, called Yahoo.
If you'd ask, yes. So you called Yahoo?
I don't have a number for Yahoo.
Right.
I didn't know they had.
So let me ask some other questions.
The problem is I'm in my 80s. I can't see very well.
Yeah, so
no, it's not just that.
We're
trying to help you out, and it's
trying to ask some questions.
I did get through a little while ago yesterday, and after they put in they checked the code, you know, the lower and uppercase letters, and then some numbers mix it all up. With my eyesight, I can barely make those out. I finally got one.
Okay.
I got it right, and they said, congratulations.
Al.
And they had two questions asked me. I got them both right.
Al.
Go ahead.
Al, I want you to stop, and I want you to take a breath, and I want you to listen to Gary. Just listen. Don't say anything. He's going to ask you something.
Sure.
Go ahead, Gary.
Well, we need him to answer some questions. How did they approach you?
They said, we've got some personal questions to ask you.
Did they send you in?
What was your daughter's name when she was a child?
The first question is, did you contact someone to provide support for you? Or did they contact you?
I called Best Buy to ask them, and Scott Trade to ask them some advice that I could. They suggested I just say I lost my password and try that. That didn't help. Nothing else comes up. I'm really frustrated. I don't know exactly where to go.
Okay. Al, here's our human.
We're going to talk to you offline. We're going to help you, Al, okay? But we'll talk to you offline, and we think we may be able to help you.
But in the meantime,
hang on.
Yeah, hang on there, Al.
Till we go to a break,
we're going to
put
you on hold for just a second, and let's just talk about some of these things for people who may...
Right.
Who may be, like Al, very frustrated, and this is no knock against Al. It's happened to everybody. But the concern we have is this. How did that first message get to you asking for your password? If it was from their side, whoever they are is, they should never be asking you for your password. Never, ever, ever asking you for your
Unless it's in the routine way of logging on. They ask for username and password, right? And you go, and you make sure that the site is yahoo.com, not yahoo.com, not yahoobam.com, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you got to make sure it's the right site. But you're right. If they will not ask you. They will take and send you a link and through a legitimate way to reset your password.
Right. Or they will, if you're really speaking to Yahoo, they will provide you a new password.
That's right.
Now, unfortunately, if you're dealing with someone that has a site problem, I mean, that opens up a whole new can of worms.
It's tougher, right?
But
it is
much
tougher.
Harder.
Yeah, but there is a website that Yahoo has that you can go to that will, I forgot my password. What do I do? And the website is here. I just had it up here a few moments ago.
As you're looking for that, Ed, is it true, guys, also that there are ways where people who have visual problems can make the letters larger so they can see it? For instance, you would hold down the control key, I think. Help me on a PC. You hold down control, I think it is, and then hit the plus sign, and that should make the screen size bigger.
I don't remember, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of bad people are out there trying to con you. It's much easier to con you and get you to do something like reveal your password than it is to hack in and figure out your password.
They want you to hand it to them, which is what they're doing.
So they, they try to sell you a line. I'm here to help you, right?
The important thing, folks, we want to spend some time on this because the important thing is in the normal course of communication with businesses, we're all used to somebody wanting to confirm something. But what's happened is because the bad guys get in there and pretend to be the people who are in charge, what's happened now with credit cards, with passwords and everything else is they will never approach you for your password information. As Ed said, they will send you a new password or send you a link to go to
set your password.
Or they'll tell you over the phone what your new password is. Try that.
I have had situations for somebody, for instance, called me and said, I want information about your password. I said, about my credit card information. I said, give me a phone number I can call. I'm not going to give you the information.
Right. I wouldn't either.
Give me the call number to call, and I will call you. And when I call you and know that I'm talking to my credit card company, maybe then. And what I did was I got hold of my security department and said, we will never call you. Yeah. We would never call you to ask that. The same thing happens on your computer with email.
Right.
People who are legitimate will never approach you and ask you for that data. And
they
if
have
you have somebody
they
doing
it already,
they've got it. And if you have somebody who's doing that, it's because
they don't have it.
Social, they don't have it. It's called social engineering, which means we want you to hand us the goods.
To tell us,
Yeah. And they prey on people who are used to a business environment that was much different. Folks, we're in the Wild West where the snake oil salespeople are rife. They're everywhere. And that's why we suggest that, you know, you take that attitude of, if somebody says to you, you know, with an email or whatever,
right,
I need that information, shut it down.
Yep.
And get rid of it because it's dangerous.
And when I work with people on their computers, sometimes it requires them to give me your password when I go to their house. But when I leave, I send them to the change password site, yep, and they change their password.
So legitimate good guys.
Because you don't want the responsibility of something happening.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Gene from Whitmore Lake will be with you. And you too, if you call us at 800-859-0957.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. For help with any computer problem, call in during our live show or visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Thank you so much for being with us for this version of the Internet Advisor. Going to be getting back to our calls in just a second. I would like to thank Rick Lozinski and Eric Anderson behind the glass who help us with our program, our engineer and producer. By the way, stay tuned because a great program coming up. It's Real Estate 411 with Annette Campo. We're looking forward to that coming up on WJR Radio here. Great voice of the Great Lakes. Like to be able to say that. And back with our group in studio, by the way, I want to thank Steve Heyer for being here from IGD Solutions, who are our hosting provider. And thank you so much, Steve, for being here, along with a whole bunch of great young people who were involved in the first robotics program in Clarkston at the high school. Yeah, the look at the T-shirts. Rush 27 proudly on their T-shirts. That's their first robotics team. Cameron Rasdar, Troy Hughes, and Andrea Bedroy. Thank you very much for being in studio with us and for helping us out here today. Okay, guys, let's dive back in and get some more questions answered here before we have to bow out and say goodbye for another week. Thank you very much, Gene, for joining us here from Whitmore Lake. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got this little problem with my computer.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of the programs say you can watch the program on live streaming, mm-hmm, well, I get the picture, but I don't get no sound, and I want to find out, how do I do it?
Good question. Good question. Let's find a little bit about your computer so we can give some answers to this. What kind of a computer, I mean, what kind of operating system are you using?
Okay, I'm using an HP, and mm-hmm, I'm on a...
Is it Windows XP? Are you using Windows XP? Is that the operating system? Okay, Windows XP is an old HP machine. How do you connect to the internet?
I use Yahoo.com.
Okay, and do you have a DSL line or a cable connection? How are you connecting that way?
It's DSL.
Okay, a DSL connection. Okay, good. That gives us a lot of background information.
Now, when you are watching some video online...
Yeah.
Are you going to like a YouTube, or do you have a special video program?
Well, I am going basically just to the website, and then I put it on, and then I get the picture on it, but I don't get the sound.
Now, do you know there's a hardware switch on your computer probably that will give you a mute function as well as volume controls?
Yeah.
Well, do you have that on your computer?
I got three little knobs on top.
Yeah.
The deal. And I tried pressing those, and I don't get anything, and nothing changes. I tried all three buttons.
Okay. Do you hear sound any other way, Gene?
No.
Okay. You don't hear sound, period.
So, like, when it boots up, do you hear the Windows boot up message?
A little ding, 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 ding. Okay. Ed?
Well, no, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Do you get any sound on your computer? So, what about... the master volume control on the bottom right hand of your screen next to your clock, there should be a volume indicator.
Looks like a little speaker.
Yeah. Have you tried clicking on that?
Yes.
And it's maxed out? Is it all the way up? Now, did you say this was a laptop or a desktop?
Laptop.
An HP laptop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, it sometimes it's called a mixer or something. You're sure that the mute isn't on?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, here's what happens, Gene. When you put the mute on, it puts a little line through the speaker. So, generally speaking.
Yeah, like a little red circle.
A little slash goes
I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that we could bring up that to test audio. You can go into the control panel underneath sounds, and in the sounds, you have the ability of selecting individual sound events or your Windows startup, but you also have the ability to hit the play sound, and you could play the sounds. And in there, they provide you the mute button, I believe, and and also a volume control in there.
The reason we asked that, Gene, is it sounds like you're having problems with sounds in general on your computer, not just with the websites.
Right.
So we can't tell if it's a toggle switch on off and you can just turn it on, or if you have a hardware problem that maybe your audio card.
Gene, you have somebody that you can ask that can, because this really requires almost a pair of eyes there. Have you got somebody you can invite over to take a look and look at this with you?
Yeah.
Good. Why don't you do that? And then, as Ed said, go into Control Panel and under Sounds, check there to make sure that you can hear the general system sounds.
At least there's sound coming,
right.
Sound something.
Now, one other question is, do you have your laptop connected to some speakers?
No, I don't.
Okay, good. Then you want to check for the system sound itself, and you'll need some friends to help you with that. Go to Control Panel, and they can help you with that. Okay, Gene?
Okay.
And that'll be the first place to check and make sure that your system in general has sound.
Yeah, because it's really, it's a hardware-software problem.
Right, exactly. Right?
And you got to figure out which.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Diane from Carleton. Hi, how you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I have a HP computer, XP Windows operating system. Every time I get on to do a Word document, I get this message that says runtime error, method of object failed, and it's from a Proposal Smart Desktop Edition. And it seems to me probably maybe more than a year ago I was writing a proposal for something, and I must have downloaded something. And I'm not quite sure how to get that off. And I have to click on this before I can get into my Word document to type anything.
Oh,
and
so
I just wondered.
Once you get past the error message, though, you can get into your...
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
because it does sound like a leftover then from something else.
Right, it sounds like it's an add-on or a template file has been updated accidentally. One of the things you could do, you said you're running, what version of Office were you running?
I think it's 2007.
Okay.
Oh, you're lucky, because if you're running 2007, Microsoft provided a diagnosis and test. So if you go under, Start All Programs or Start Programs, underneath Microsoft Office Tools, I believe there's a tool there called Microsoft Office Diagnostics.
Oh.
Okay.
And you can select that, and that'll test Office and attempt to repair any problems.
Okay, so can I, uninstall it, or I...
Well, you mean the program...
First run the diagnostics, and that's Microsoft testing the Microsoft Word to make sure it's working properly. And that might actually repair the problem.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then you might want to look for how to disable toolbars, which is something you could search for. I'm talking, if you go to Google or go to Bing, basically, say Microsoft Word, how do I disable, toolbars? And the other one is you could delete your normal .dot. There's a file. Every time you start Microsoft Word, it loads a template file which contains your default printer, what favorite fonts you like using. And it's a file called normal with a period.
And I keep getting this message on normal. I go, what are you talking about?
So you do is you delete, you search your computer for normal.dot and have Microsoft Word closed. And you search your computer for normal.dot, you delete all instances that you find of it, because there's probably going to be five, instances.
Okay.
There's the one that Microsoft put on there, the one associated with the user ID, the one in the Microsoft Office, and a couple examples. If you delete those, don't worry about it, because if you're just a general Microsoft Word user, the next time you start Microsoft Word, it's going to recreate a brand new one for you,
right?
A clean copy.
So the way you would do that, Ed, is that she would go into the search, the start button search,
and
she would type it.
If she's in Windows XP, I think it's start find.
Yes. Start, find, and then type in normal, the word normal, put a period, and then D-O-T.
Right. That's right.
And tell it to search for those. And when you find those instances, then go to each one of them and erase them.
Yeah, it'll put them in the recycle bin. If it's an emergency, you can always restore those from the recycle bin.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I hope that gives you a little handle on that. Let's see if we can take one more call before we have to clean out of here. Dennis from Algonac, welcome to the Internet Advisor. And so, Dennis. We're going to put you on hold because the music is playing behind me, which says we've run out of time. Hey, folks, thank you so much for being part of this marathon version of the Internet
Advisor.
Great
3 hours.
Yep, and don't forget to stay tuned for Real Estate 411 with Annette Campo. They've got a great program coming up. And tonight they're going to be talking about short sales and real estate info that you need to know. That's coming up on WJR here with Real Estate 411. Again, Eric Anderson, thank you so much. And Rich Lozinski, thank you. Guys, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Kel Carson. And for all the rest of you who joined us, thanks so much for